Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 390, the stanzas 2 and 3. To thee I stretch my hands, let me not plead in vain. I wait as weary lands await for refreshing rain, and what follows. Psalter 390, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 3. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 3. And now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, A silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together with them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as that also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he is so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up a son, Jesus, send him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Ellie Gunderson, who was still in the Lethbridge Hospital, improving, but still weak, and Ryan Zoot, who was in the hospital on account of a septic infection, had surgery, was permitted to come home. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy providence and in thy great condescending mercy that thou was granted unto us and our children, poor sinners, another Lord's Day. Then we may acknowledge thee for the many blessings which thou was granted unto us and our children and the week gone by. Then we have been the recipients of so many blessings, which most of our fellow travelers upon this earth must miss. And what maketh us and our children to differ, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we consider all thy blessings, thy patient long suffering, and when we consider all our sins, then it should be a wonder that we may still have a place upon this earth. Lord, it is thy work that a wonder may become a wonder. Thou knowest how poor we are. In our deep fallen Adam, we have lost thy image. And then that true gratitude, an impression of whom thou art, Lord, we have lost it all. And now it is the work of thy Holy Spirit to show us, to teach us how poor we are. And that not only for the first time, but also by renewal. But then it is also thy work that poverty, that thou may fill it with thy riches. And that is only possible by the work of a triune God. Lord, may it then please thee on this Sabbath day to do it, that sinners may be saved, and where thou hast begun, that poor sinners, by an eye of faith, may be given to look upon that rich Savior, who can save to the uttermost. In the weeks gone by, then by renewal, then we were given to commemorate the rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, and that 3,000 were converted. And then it is recorded that thou wast added daily to the church as such as should be saved, O Lord. And may it please thee to do it in this day. Bless thy word to that end. Come down with thy power, with thy spirit, and with thy blood. Oh, impress upon all our hearts, even upon our minds, that we have no continuing city, that the time is but short. Wilt thou grant a further leadings in the life of thy people? Lord, then we remember the churches in Nigeria were on the past Lord's Day. So many were ushered so suddenly and unexpectedly into that never-ending eternity. Great numbers have been wounded, and there was much destruction. Then we commend all the mourning ones unto thee, O Lord. Do uphold and care for them. Wilt thou spare from rising up against thee? Remember all in the hospitals. Remember when they are so overwhelmed, undoubtedly not knowing how they can and must continue. Remember thy servants, the consistories, that they may be given to lead their flock in these difficult and in these trying ways. Oh, may the callings be sanctified. Wilt thou remember the persecutors? Oh, wilt thou prick them in their heart? Then they shall be given to cry after thee. Lord, remember all the mourning ones who were in the denomination in this past week. A young man of 25 years was brought to the grave. Wilt thou uphold that mourning family? And wilt thou remember all the mourning ones amongst us? We have also stood on the cemetery to bury our dear old mother, a large empty place. Teach us all to die before we have to die. Wilt thou remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth in this day? May there be a rich ingathering. Remember the many needs. Remember the sick and the afflicted. The widow still in the hospital, thou art given improvement, still very weak. May the means be further blessed. Thou wast still wonderfully spared. May it be for the purpose of all purposes, and that is for the saving of the soul. Lord, a little son, he was in the hospital in this past week. Many concerns, many fears, underwent surgery, permitted to return to his home. Wilt thou further bless the means? Remember his soul. Remember the family circle. Wilt thou grant a heart to acknowledge thee for thy caring and for thy sparing hand? Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, all those that are sick, sick relatives? It is all known unto thee. May we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wilt thou now be mindful of us in this day? May we be given to meet undisturbed. Wilt thou anoint us with fresh oil from above? And may there be many Aarons and hers among young and old. Grant a little freedom, a little joy in the Master's service. Wilt thou remember all the years, and may it please thee to go from bench to bench, and from chair to chair, and from dwelling to dwelling. Wilt thou graciously remove everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt thou bind the Satan? Lord, may our eyes be upon thee. Ah, be then a surprising God. In these solemn times, may it please thee to do a great work amongst us, to fulfill what the prophet of old has declared, that our sons and daughters may prophesy, our young men see visions, the old men dream dreams, and also upon the handmaidens and the servants, that thou may pour out of thy spirit. Thou wast promised to work from generation to generation, where thou hast declared that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure. Lord, may we be found more to be a praying and a begging people. Ah, thou knowest that a true prayer that comes from above and that shall return unto thee, wilt thou then do wonders if we have heard out of thy word, that thy great and worthy name may be glorified. Oh, we have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are manifold. We can confess it. It is so necessary that it is experienced each time by renewal, and that there may be a fleeing to that fountain of blood. May then the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 143, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Against thee only have I sinned, done evil in thy sight. O Lord, in thy judgment thou art just, and in thy sentence right. And what follows? Psalter 143, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4, and the extra collection today is for the school. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 3 and there of the 19th verse, where God's word and our text reads thus, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Our text words speak of Peter preaching law and gospel after the healing of the lame man, with three thoughts. In the first place, the preaching of repentance. In the second place, the preaching of blotting out. And in the third place, the preaching of refreshment. Peter preaching law and gospel after the healing of the lame man. The preaching of repentance, the preaching of blotting out, and the preaching of refreshment. Thus first, the preaching of repentance. Beloved hearers, in this chapter we read that Peter and John have went up to the temple the third hour, the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when the evening sacrifices were still brought. It was a wonderful time in the midst of the church. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 converted. And then I read in Acts 2, verse 47, that the Lord added daily unto the church such as should be saved. Thus we do not read weekly or monthly, but every day the means of grace were blessed, boys and girls, young people, middle-aged, and the elderly ones were converted by the Lord unto the Lord. Oh, when we read those things, should it not be turned into prayer and supplication, that we may be given to humbly ask the Lord for at Pentecost amongst us and our children? We are all hastening to eternity. On Friday, in the congregation of Norwich, a young man of 25 years was brought to the grave where the Friday before he has come into an accident. On the last Lord's Day, great numbers, the exact number is not known, but great numbers were ushered into eternity in easy Nigeria. We may still be in the precious day of grace. It may still be proclaimed that there is a rich sinner, a rich Savior for poor sinners. And now in this chapter, then there was laid a lame man at the gate called Beautiful, where he was given to beg for alms. And then we have heard it, boys and girls, that Peter and John were given to say As silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then his ankles were made strong. And then we read in verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Thus then his legs were made strong. But then we read of other things, because then we read that he used that strength not only for self and that he could work, but then we read walking and leaping and praising God. And it was seen by the people. They were given to marvel. They were amazed. We do not read that they have mocked. And then when they have looked upon Peter and John, then at Peter and John, then Psalm 115, verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be all the honor and the glory. Then at Peter and at John, filled with the Holy Ghost, then they were given to, they used the opportunity to proclaim law and gospel. And then how did they begin? Then they sought common ground, because in verse 13, then Peter and John, they have declared that it was not by their strength, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. And then they have spoken the God of Abram and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. Thus then Peter and John, they first saw common ground. Then Peter and John were given to say, we are all the children of Abram, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And then Peter and John were given to declare, we would say, Peter and John, be now a little careful, be now a little mild. But no, by the Holy Spirit, then they were given to proclaim the guilt of this people. The God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Thus Peter was given to say, O people of Israel, we find in the address different times that word ye. Has that ever become true for us, congregation, ye? Or is it still always someone else? Can we sit under the preaching of law and gospel so comfortably, trying to excuse herself even with the doctrines of the truth, and that we continue so easy from week to week, and each week a week closer to that never-ending eternity when there can never come a change? Then it is necessary that ye, that it becomes me, that it becomes you, and that we are pricked in our heart like those 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter and John said, O people of Israel, Pilate, he was determined to let Jesus go. That was his intention. He was firmly convinced that Jesus was innocent. But now it is your fault that Jesus has hung on the cross that he has died, it is your fault. That 3-hour darkness, those earthquakes that have come. Oh, Jewish people, ye are the guilty ones. And then even stronger language. But ye deny the Holy One and the Just. Oh, Jesus, who was tabernacled among you, who has done so many wonders, who has done nothing but good. With his hands he blessed, with his feet he has walked through the land for the welfare of the Jewish nation, and ye have denied the Holy One and the Just, and even more, and desired a murder to be granted unto you. Ah, then it is fulfilled. Oh, it is the Peter that has denied his master 3 times in the hall of Caiaphas. But now also at this moment, oh, what Peter, he needed to be anointed by the Holy Spirit each time by renewal, that he would not fear men, not to fear their frowns, nor covet their smiles, but then by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then he was given to lay their guilt home very close to their heart. But ye denied the Holy One and Just, and denied a murder to be granted unto you, and even further, and killed. That's not the Roman soldiers, and not Pontius Pilate, but ye. Ye have killed the Prince of Life. How guilty Jerusalem has become, we would say, congregation. If there was ever a people guilty, then it was the city of Jerusalem that has cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Are there a few Jerusalems in my midst? Ah, that have learned it by the deeper uncovering of the Holy Spirit. Guilty against all the commandments of God, but also that is learned with Jerusalem, ye, that we have counted the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ an unclean thing, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, all people of Israel, the Prince of Life, whom ye have killed. Undoubtedly many have witnessed it around the cross. He has risen again. He is alive. He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And then Peter and John were given to declare, and through his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It was a blessing for Peter and John that when that miracle was performed, that their hearts were more receptive to hearken to the word of God. How is that with us, congregation? All the callings, with all the blessings, does it bring us closer to this word, or do we wander further into the world? Ah, for that people that have witnessed that man more than 40 years lame, and that he was given to walk, that he was given to leap, that he was given to praise God, that people had an impression that the Lord has done a great wonder, and through that wonder they were made receptive. They did not mock like some of that people on the day of Pentecost, but receptive for the words of God, their hearts more tender. And then further, Oh, what a message for that people. For that people of Jerusalem, that they have killed the Holy One, the Prince of Life, that they have murdered their Savior, that they have murdered their Messiah, for whom their fathers had waited and prayed for 4,000 years. Would there now be mercy for such a people? Has that ever become our question, congregation? That we had such an impression, a deep and a profound profession of our sins, that is in beginning, but also by that further uncovering to consider all the labor that the Lord has bestowed upon our soul. Has the question ever arisen whether it is now possible for such a sinner as I am, whether such a sinner can be saved? Oh, then in this chapter, what an encouragement for poor sinners. And now, with that piercing message of Peter and John, what they have done, and they could never undo it. Sin is such an awful thing. The Jewish people, they could never undo what they have cried out, crucify him, crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children. But now that people would not despair, that they would not lose all hope, then Peter has said, and now, brethren, do you hear that love? Peter and John did not place themselves above that people of Jerusalem. We read when Christ has declared to the disciples that he must suffer and die, that Peter has strongly come up against it. Oh, Peter and John, oh, ask then of Peter what he has done in the hall of Caiaphas. Ah, oh, then surely for a Peter, then there was no greater sinner in the city of Jerusalem that was a greater sinner than Peter. But now the love, and now, brethren, lest they would despair. Then Peter was given to say, listen, it is not hopeless. There is yet hope. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. That does not mean when we sin in ignorance that it is not sin. And we and our children, we have been brought up with the Bible and under the truth. Of course, the natural man does so much in ignorance, because my unconverted fellow travelers, if you had the right impression of whom the Lord is, of his attributes, and so worthy to be served, oh, if you had an impression of the sweetness of the service of the Lord, if you had an impression of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, then it would become different. Thus, through our deep fall, then there is much ignorance. But then Peter, in this chapter, then he is given to say that their ignorance consisted, that they realized not that Jesus, that he was the promised Messiah. Thus it did not excuse them, but still, Paul also said, he has written to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, the verses 13 and 14, concerning that persecution, that he did it in ignorance. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he is so fulfilled. And then Peter and John have come to the application. What must that people now do? With blood on their hands They have crucified the Lord of glory, the Prince of life. They have denied him. Then Peter and John said, repent ye therefore. That was the command of Peter and John to the multitude, that they must repent of their sins. That word repent, that means a change of mind with corresponding actions. And now what Peter and John was given to say, O people of Israel, your sins are heavenly high, your sins have been great, but now I call you this day, repent ye therefore and be converted. Thus a divine command. John the Baptist, in Matthew 3 verse 2, he has begun his preaching the same way, repent ye. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 4 verse 17 has also commanded the people, repent ye. Thus the divine command which Peter was given to lay upon the hearts of the children of Israel whose hands were stained with blood. Repent ye. Peter did not say that they were able to repent. No. Free grace. Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, nevertheless a divine command that cometh unto us and our children, that we may be given to repent of our evil and worldly ways. And how is it now with that repentance, congregation? Comes to us in this morning. Repent ye. Thus that is very personal. Every boy and girl, young person, father and mother, and older one. How is it now with our repentance? Then I hear already people say, but we are not able to repent. Let me ask you, have you done what you could? Because that repentance, especially the second phrase, be converted, then Peter is implying that it must be a true and an inward repentance. But there is also a calling in God's word to walk according to his word. And how is it now with that repentance? Let me ask you, have we done what we could? Because after our deep fall in Adam, we have remained moral creatures with a will. To make it simple for our boys and girls, when the prophets in the Old Testament, when they have warned against idolatry, and when there was a family that had an image in their house, and the prophets have called to repent, then they were called with their hands to carry that image out of their house and to destroy it. And to that end, that word repent comes to us and our children. The Lord, he is a jealous God of his honor, of those that are bearers of his triune name. And therefore also when we read in our text, repent ye therefore, we have heard in this morning by renewal the Ten Commandments. Then the Lord calls us to be a separate people. But now when Peter says, repent ye therefore, that is not only an outward repentance, it is commanded. But then Peter is given to command that inward repentance of which we read, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Then when Peter commands the people, repent ye therefore, that it may be used, that people may run stuck, also concerning their repentance. When the Lord works by his Spirit, then there shall be that repentance, because I read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, that godly sorrow worketh repentance, and not to be repented of, but the sorrow after the world worketh death. Oh, that command, what the Lord now commands in our text words, that he grants unto his chosen church by the work of the Holy Spirit. Ah, then it is an inward repentance. It shall become manifest in an outward repentance. It cannot be hidden. Oh, then concerning that command, then the Lord has a people that comes in a need, because they learn that all their repentance is too short, that they cannot appear before the Lord. And therefore that true repentance, oh, to learn the true characteristics of sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that we have sinned against such a just and against such a good-doing God. Ah, that worketh by love, that is the sorrow of heart, that we have sinned against him, that has done nothing but good. Then we are given to reflect upon the past. Oh, for that people of Israel, and that repentance it would be included, that they would confess with bitter tears of lamentation what they have done. Oh, Jerusalem, the true people that were wrought upon, they would experience to be the chiefest of sinners. If there was a people that was worthy to be cast into everlasting damnation, then it was the people of the city of Jerusalem. But then Peter was given to declare, therefore, repent ye therefore, and that the Spirit would use, that they would be given to see, that by their repentance they could never be saved. Ah, that true repentance, that is not a forsaking of some sin, but that is a forsaking of all sin. Although the church, they have those bosom sins where they can be so troubled with, ah, the Lord has a people in that warfare, that they experience that they are so weak, that they have no strength. Ah, there are times where it seems the resurrection of the old man and the mortification of the new man. Nevertheless, that divine command, repent ye therefore. And now Peter, to stress that he is not only talking about an outward repentance, but a repentance of the heart. Then he has added, repent ye therefore and be converted. Those words are closely connected, but that word convert, that means to turn around. And that is now necessary. And therefore in our text, that people would not receive the wrong impression that Peter was only talking about an outward repentance, a blessing in itself, when we may be turned from the world to the church. Think of the city of Nineveh, when Jonah has preached yet 40 days and the city shall be destroyed. Then upon even that outward repentance, the Lord only knows how far it has extended. Nevertheless, even upon that outward repentance of that city, then that city was spared. Do we not read among the children of Israel when the kings of Judah, when there was a reformation, then the Lord has added his blessing, but those blessings are only for the time. And therefore to stress to that people that it must be a true, that it must be an inward repentance. Then he has added, be converted, thus that we must be turned around, that when we are traveling on that broad way to hell, that we are turned around and that we set our face Zionwards. Thus a divine command which a Peter and a John are given to proclaim to the people of Jerusalem. And now that command also comes unto us and to our children And then the Lord demands a perfect repentance and a perfect turning. Oh, are there souls that understand it? Because when we are given to see our heavenly high debt, that we have sinned against such a good doing and a righteous God, when we have an impression that we are traveling to a never-ending eternity, when we have an impression that there is only a step between us and death, when we may have an impression that it could be the last Sabbath day for us and our children, oh, when we are given to see that our sins rise up against us, ah, then it cannot be different, that there shall be a bowing in the dust. Ah, the Spirit grants unto the church what he commands in his word. But now concerning that repentance, ah, what shall the church experience? And that is so indispensable, because there can be repenting, but young and old, our sins need to be pardoned in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, in the life of his people, oh, in the beginning, then they hope that they may repent perfectly, that they may repent fully, that they may become holier and holier. But I read in Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. Ah, then that people is given to experience with all their repentance, oh, a blessed and a sweet place to come at the throne of grace with a confession of our sins as a guilty sinner that cannot save themselves. Ah, then that repenting people, then with that deeper uncovering, they learn that all their repentance is polluted with sin, their former iniquities, they rise up against them. And when it may please the Lord to show unto his people that with their repenting, they have counted the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ an unclean thing, ah, then from their side, it becomes forever hopeless. And to that end, oh, if Peter had stopped, repent ye therefore and be converted, it would have been forever impossible for that people in Jerusalem with their heavenly high debt. And we would say, ah, Jerusalem on top of the list, that they have crucified the Lord of glory. But now that preaching of repentance, oh, a knowledge of our misery, that room may be made for that precious Savior for whom Jerusalem is crucified. And the Lord, as a people that learns that they are that Jerusalem, that they have nailed the Savior to the cross, and to that end, ah, that people, because the Holy Spirit, he shall never bring his people, oh, it can come so close, it can be so hopeless and so helpless, but now it is the work of the Holy Spirit, ah, to make room for that precious mediator of people that has been worked out, that have learned that with all their repentance, that they are a guilty sinner still. And to that end, our second thought, the preaching of blotting out. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. How are we now to understand that word, that? Does that now mean because the reason is Peter now saying because of their repentance and their conversion that their sins shall be blotted out? No, that can never be, because the church learns it is written in the scriptures that by grace they are saved in Romans 3, that by the works of the law they can never be justified. Ah, the church shall learn more and more. If even a sigh had to be added, it would be forever lost. But that word declares the way that the Spirit works in the heart of his people, because congregation, tell me, if we have never become a sinner, if we have never become a great sinner, if we have never learned to cry over our sins, to weep those bitter and sweet tears in the presence of a holy and a good-doing God, if we have never received that burden of sin upon our back, what must we then do with the Savior? Oh, upon His Pilate has said it, what must I do with Jesus? And do we not read in Matthew 9, verse 12, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick? Thus that word that refers, what Thomas Watson has stated in a certain place, that the Lord shall never pardon His people because of their repentance, but they shall not be pardoned without repentance, because the Lord makes room for the precious meritorial work of His dear Son. And then what precious things, are there repenting sinners in my midst? And maybe in this week, so discouraged and so disappointed, ruined everything, this sin, that thought, you can multiply it out. That you have begged the Lord, that you have asked Him whether there was still mercy, because that you were given to experience that with all your repentance, your guilt is only increasing, a heavenly high debt which you have tried so hard to pay, and a guilty sinner still. Are there a few souls that have to say, that is now my condition? There have been times that I have hoped that with my repentance that the Lord would be happy with me and that He would be approved. When you may receive those tokens of His favor, but when the Lord now hides His face, then a guilty sinner still. But now a Peter is given. A Peter and a John, they have used the opportunity to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, that your sins may be blotted out. As boys and girls, to make it simple, then we have someone with much debt, all written on a large piece of paper. And then for the people of Jerusalem on top, that they have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we mention a paper when we consider our sins. Then a paper would not hold it all. What a large book, especially when we become older. Do you ever think about a congregation, about your debt, and that they are all written in God's book, and that the Lord requires payment, perfect satisfaction, and then instead of paying, that every day and every week that book is becoming thicker? And I read in Revelations 20 that in the day of days it shall be opened. But now it is necessary that we become exercised therewith. And now Peter said that there is a way that all those sins, all that debt, blotted out, boys and girls, we would say, it is all erased. A blank piece of paper. That is what Peter is telling that people of Israel, that your sins may be blotted out. What a sweet melody for poor sinners. That your sins may, possibility that it can be. And the church Oh, when that may be opened, when the gospel may be opened, what a wonder it becomes for that people, that word may. But now it needs to be applied. Not only a possibility that it shall all be erased, but that it shall take place. We read thereof in Colossians 2 verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and nailing it to the cross. What a wonderful text that declares what Peter says in our text, that your sins may be blotted out. That is possible. What Peter has spoken of the Holy One and the just, Jesus. No original and no actual sins. He was brought from court to court. He was condemned. He was nailed to the cross. And by that nailing on the cross, and Paul declares in Colossians 1 verse 14, that the sins of his people, that they were nailed to the cross, Christ has suffered and died, that his people's debt, that he may be paid, and all the attributes of his Father may be glorified. Congregation, what a wonderful gospel. Repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, not man's work. That is now the work of a triune God. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. How necessary to turn our text into prayer. Oh, we know it. Also the work of the Spirit to grant a true prayer. And therefore how necessary to be given to beg in the latter days of the earth, in the solemn and serious time, oh, that day of Pentecost and the days thereafter. What a wonderful time it was. Let us first sing. Psalter 357, the four stanzas. When Zion in her low estate was brought from bondage by the Lord, in ecstasy we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. And what follows, 357, the four stanzas. Thank you. Peter preaching law and gospel after the healing of the lame man. The preaching of repentance, the preaching of blotting out, and now thirdly, the preaching of repentance. And then we read in our text, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Peter's given to stress that it comes from the presence of the Lord. And that word when, that connects to the first part of our text words, when the times of refreshing shall come. That word refreshing, that also means that we may be cooled. Then our boys and girls, like in this past week, when it was so hot, and if you had a laboring man in the field under the hot sun, then such a labor would desire refreshment, maybe a cloud, a little wind to refresh him. And now our text speaks, when the times of refreshing shall come. Then before the day of Pentecost, then I read in Acts 1, the verses 13 and 14, that the church was together with one accord in prayer and supplication, begging the Lord whether that time of refreshing would come upon the church. Then what a refreshment it is in the midst of the church, especially for those that love the walls of Zion well. When the wind of the Spirit may blow in the midst of the congregation, and that it becomes evident, repenting sinners may be silent, but who speak more by their lives. Where sin has become sin, where they have become guilty, oh, what a refreshment it is for the church. When there may be those roofs on the field of Boaz, which may glean with such a great delight, and then it is written of Ruth, that she was faithful on that field. But when Peter is given to say, when the times of refreshing shall come, oh, what a refreshing it is for burdened, for hell-worthy and guilty sinners, with everything that they have experienced, with their repentance, with their hopes, with the tokens of the Lord's favor, that the Lord knows of them. And nevertheless, when you ask those souls how it is with their guilt, then they are silent. But what a time of refreshing it is, when that precious Savior, when the gospel may be opened, when they may be given to see that there is a Savior so rich and so sufficient, that he can save to the uttermost, that he can even save a great sinner like me. Then what a time of refreshment that is for such a soul. Then they may be given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. But when we read in our text, when the times of refreshing shall come, then before that your sins may be blotted out, oh, for a Peter and John, they have sat at the prophetical feet of the Lord Jesus Christ for more than 3 years. It was so hidden for them. They were given to rejoice in that instruction and with the wonders, and that they could even preach the word. But now that blessing, that of Peter and John, they have experienced it, on the evening of the resurrection, when they were be given to behold those pierced hands and feet. When I read in Luke 24, verse 45, that he opened their understanding, that they understood the scriptures concerning that he must suffer and die. Oh, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, that speaks of those richer times in the midst of the church. Such a time it was on the day of Pentecost, but that work that would be spread far abroad, do we not soon read of 5,000, and that the church has been multiplied, and that the apostles, by the power of the Spirit, that they have went abroad to bring that gospel to all nations, that it was richly blessed, that the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Then Peter is given to speak that Christ is sent by the preaching of the word. He is also given to speak of the last days, when the whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. What a profound message, congregation. May we turn it into prayer, that it may be accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit, that message, that it may enter many hearts, that it may be heard, that among young and old, that it has become real in their life, pricked in their heart, and that they become beggars at the throne of grace, because that wonder must take place here in the time. And then Peter is added in verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Thus then he lays that message close to the heart, also concerning our text words, that we must hearken to the word of God. Oh, young and old, may we be given to beg. Oh, let me say, try to beg. The Lord has a people that learns it all comes from the presence of the Lord. And Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 11, verse 36, of him, through him, and to him be all things, to be glory forever. And then we read in verse 28, oh, a special message. Ye are, in verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abram, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up a son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee, by the loving and irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit, to grant unto us and our children to be given to experience what we have heard out of thy holy word. Lord, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. And may it be in this morning a savor of life unto life. That there may be that repentance by the first time but also in the life of thy children. Our continual repentance, Peter has experienced it in a special way. When he has denied thee and fallen so far, that he was given to weep, and our Lord, Peter has experienced that all the sins, also the sin of his denial, has been completely blotted out through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what each and everyone stand in need of, Lord. We have heard of a time of refreshment. Wilt thou grant a time? Do it for thy honor. Wilt thou work lovingly in the hearts of young and old, Lord, thou knowest that if thou doth not work by thy Spirit, then we remain dead in sins and trespasses. Then we continue on that broad way until at last we shall drop into hell. Lord, wilt thou convert us all? Watch over us in this day. Bring us under the means of grace. In this afternoon hour, forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 221, the three stanzas. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, may cherubim dwelling shine thou from above. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Martin Ebenezer van Dyk and Nadine Wilhelmina Niels. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, June 11 at 11 a.m. with Reverend Adams officiating. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. The first wedding announcement of Justin Richard de Kock and Magda Govadina van Gadre. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And next week, there will be a special collection for the disaster fund to help our sister congregations in Nigeria. Psalter 221, the three stanzas. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.